This free resource is from the 2013 Spiritual Leadership Conference in Lancaster, California, hosted by Pastor Paul Chapel in the Lancaster Baptist Church. This lesson is on encouraging your pastor's wife with Mrs. Kathy Houck. Mrs. Houck serves as the elementary principal of Lancaster Baptist School.
We have had the joy and privilege of being here at Lancaster Baptist Church. We just celebrated our 24th year. Can you believe that, Mrs. Coates? I remember speaking with Mrs. Coates right in that lobby of that old building. I can't ever get that out of my mind, how we were discussing age. Anyway, it's been a joy of ours to be here. We've raised our 5 children here, and I don't know where we would be without this ministry and Pastor Chapel and Mrs. Chapel, and we love them very much. This is Encouraging Your Pastor's Wife, and I've actually kind of retitled this 7 Ways to Be a Blessing to Your Pastor's Wife. Why I came up with 7, I think my husband's favorite number is 7, so I went ahead and did that. But if you haven't gotten a rose petal yet, take a rose petal out. I can already smell that. Can you smell them? These roses are from my garden, and I pulled out one. I thought I had this. I don't know if I can put that here without it sliding. Maybe I can. Okay, we'll do this. Oh, we'll put it right in here in the middle. I'll kind of duck. But I got these roses from my garden. It's a rose bush that I just love roses. And my husband gave me roses when we were dating. And he gave me a yellow rose because we were at first at friendship. Then he gave me some red roses when he said, I love you. And there's meanings behind some roses, but I'm going to tell you what we're going to do with those rose petals in just a minute, but go ahead and make sure you get one. The rose has been dubbed the Queen of Flowers. For centuries, the rose flower has been synonymous with love, romance, beauty, and pleasure, as well as with healing, personal growth, and spirituality. Few flowers can boast such a broad assortment of meanings and purposes to such a variety of cultures throughout the world. But the rose, also known as the Queen of Flowers, is a truly singular creation. This most beloved of blooms possesses several recognizable characteristics that distinguish it from many other flowers. Roses are hardy, but fragile at the same time. Cut roses don't last as long as many flowers. And the petals are fragile. If you take those petals, they almost feel like velvet, but if you're too rough with them, they'll tear. Roses are renowned for their heavenly fragrance. Different varieties of roses have different scents. Some are fruity, some are flowery. Roses come in a kaleidoscopic assortment of colors, with more colors to choose from than any other flower. From pure, simple white to boldly two-toned orange and red flowers, roses are available in enough hues to suit virtually anyone's taste. Some rose colors are associated with different sentiments. For example, red roses represent love and passion, while yellow roses symbolize friendship. Roses are a perennial flower. This means that unlike annuals, they grow back year after year. And with proper care, rose plants can live extremely long, sometimes hundreds of years. Roses thrive in well-drained soil where they can be exposed to optimal sunlight. In cool climates, they do not bloom in the winter and benefit from regular pruning. I would like you to think of your pastor's wife as a rose. She is the queen of your church, much like the rose is the queen of flowers. Each pastor's wife is unique and beloved by each congregation. Many churches have the best pastor's wife. If I went around the room right now, you would tell me we have the best pastor's wife in the world. Well, I would tell you that we have the best pastor's wife in the world. So everyone has the best pastor's wife in the world. I'm going to put this down here. But I want to tell you this afternoon that she is hardy, but fragile. The pastor's wife means something different to each lady, just as you can have many meanings for roses. She blooms when nurtured, taken care of, and exposed to the sunlight, S-O-N. By the way, it's not our job to prune her. We need to pray that God prunes her and helps her to be what she needs to be for the Lord. But as I was thinking of my pastor's wife, I came up with these 7 ways that we can be a blessing to our pastor's wife. So let's pray, and we'll go into God's word and see what some of these ways are. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this afternoon, and I thank you, Lord, for this conference. I thank you, Lord, for each one of these ladies and how precious they are to you. And Lord, I think of our pastor's wives this afternoon and how beloved they are of each one of us, and we want to be a blessing to them. Lord, I know that these ladies have come hungry for a way that they can be an encouragement to their pastor's wife, and I pray that this session will be just what they need. And yet, Lord, I know you've taught me that I'm not an encouragement like I should be to my pastor's wife, and there's always room to grow, Lord, for us to encourage one another. And I pray that you would bless this session now. Bless our pastor as he leads this conference and help him and strengthen him today. And we pray this in your precious name. Amen. The pastor's wife, she's a godly woman. She has such grace, always a warm greeting and a smile on her face. She's encouraging. She knows her place. She has to always look just right, always on time, though the schedule's tight, from early morning till late at night. She's such a lady, everyone's friend. She serves with love from deep within. All of the rifts she tries to mend. She carries your burden. She prays for you. Sometimes she cries the whole night through. But you know, you won't know when she's feeling blue. At church, as she starts to walk up the aisle, so many needs to stop and talk for a while. Though she is tired, she has her own trials. She's patient. Her life, her time is not her own. There's always a need. They go on and on with a knock on the door or a ringing phone. Her husband, she shares with a whole congregation. She humbly accepts his intense dedication. In loneliness, she kneels to seek consolation. God bless our pastor's wives. She will someday reach the end of her race as she meets her master face to face. Surely our God had a special place in heaven for the pastor's wife. And if you think about it, the pastor goes for training. He learns the doctrines, and he goes to the seminars, and he goes to the conferences. And many times it's the pastor's wife who stays home, takes care of the children. She's the one who kind of helps, encourages her husband. And she really is just his wife. And yet sometimes the pastor's wife is expected to do so much more. I know when I grew up, I thought, I'll never make a good pastor's wife because I can't play the piano. That was the big thing back in my era. I can't play the piano. I can play the guitar, but what pastor's wife gets up and plays the guitar? So I thought, I'm never going to make a good pastor's wife until I was a teenager and my pastor's wife did not play the piano. And I remember sitting next to my pastor's wife as a teenage girl. She sat in the same pew every week, and our family got to sit with her that one Sunday. And I just watched her. I watched the way she folded her hands. I watched when she opened her Bible, how she had things underlined in her Bible. And I just knew that someday, if the Lord ever allowed me to be a pastor's wife, I wanted to be just like her. And she never played the piano. And so she was my mentor. She was just a faithful wife to her pastor, her husband. And that's really what a pastor's wife is. And yet we sometimes put them up on a pedestal thinking they are sinless, that they could do no wrong, and they don't have struggles. But really, they're just like you and I. And they need encouragement as well. So let's see some ways we can take care of this precious rose, this queen of our church from the Lord, our pastor's wife. Number one, read your Bible and pray daily. You say, I thought we were coming to this session and learning about being a blessing to our pastor's wife. But let me tell you, ladies, if we are reading God's word and praying every day, we're going to be encouraged to be filled with the Spirit, the Lord's going to direct us. First bullet point there, God's Word. I cannot say enough about God's Word. God's Word is a love letter to us. You should read it for knowing the way of salvation, honoring our Savior, encouraging others, keeping compassion for other Christians and the lost, guidance in our Christian lives, and the promises from God. That just names a few things that God's Word. Every day when I go into God's Word, I learn something new. Or another verse speaks to me that I have read before, but for some reason it speaks to me differently that day. And I know when we're in God's Word and He's speaking to us daily, there's going to be very little time to do other things that are frivolous that will get us sidetracked. Because when we get sidetracked, we cannot be a blessing to our pastor's wife. We were just sitting at a table and one of the pastor's wives said, I had to give up Facebook. And the reason was she was just trying to be an encouragement maybe to the ladies that she knew and said, I took this new Christian to lunch. And I was just so encouraged because she's growing in the Lord and whatnot. One of the ladies in her church was jealous that her pastor's wife went to lunch with another lady and didn't invite her. And she just became so stressful with all of that situation, she just had to give up Facebook. And it's sad, but I think if that other lady that became jealous, I think if she was in God's Word and had that compassion for the lost and compassion for young Christians growing, she would have said, oh, I'm so glad she got to spend time with that lady. I hope she was a help to her. And your perspective is totally different when you're in God's Word. And you want to encourage your pastor's wife and not discourage her by being jealous, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But 2 Peter 1:4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Do you know, lust doesn't always have to be in a sexual connotation. Lust is anything that just takes over our spiritual relationship with the Lord. And so a lot of times it might be jealousy, it might be contention, and the Word of God will take care of that if we are daily cleansed by the Word of God. The second bullet point there is prayer. And I know that prayer, reading your Bible and praying, we learned it from when we were little kids. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. And it's such a basic to the Christian life, but so many times we forget just the basics, and we think there's some magic formula that we're going to be able to perform to make us a magic encourager of our pastor's wife. But a lot of times it's just reading our Bible and praying. I like to use my hand. I'm a teacher at heart and a lower elementary teacher at heart, so I use a lot of visuals, but I like to use the hand. I heard that mentioned one time how you can remember to what to pray for with using your hand. Your thumb is closest. If you follow your thumb, it's the closest one to your heart. And so you pray for those that are closest to your heart, your family, your pastor and his family. I consider my pastor and my family part of my family. And I pray through the years, I've prayed for Pastor and Mrs. Chapel's children, just like I've prayed for my own children. They were very close in age to my own children, so it was easy to remember their children in prayer as I prayed. Then your pointer finger is those who instruct you. And again, I could put my pastor and his wife in that category too. So guess what? I'm praying twice now for a pastor and his family. But also your teachers, your Sunday school teacher, people that instruct you. Your tall man for those in authority, the government. Pastor, isn't it? So here he comes again. Police officers, firefighters, those people that are in authority. Your ring finger has often been noted as your weakest finger. So you pray for those who are weak and sickly around you. And then your pinky is for yourself. And of course, we could spend a lot of time there, couldn't we? Because we need to pray for ourselves that we would not be discouraging to other people. But D.L. Moody said every movement of God can be traced back to a kneeling figure. And I really believe, ladies, that if we are spending time in God's word and praying for our pastor's wife and family and our pastor, that we will obey Hebrews 13:17, which says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us. The writer of Hebrews says, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience and in all things willing to live honestly. Do you know our pastors and their wives want to be good pastors and wives? They want to do that. They desire that. They want to be the best pastor's wife and pastor for you. So we need to pray for them that the Lord will provide that for them. You could be the one who helps keep your pastor and his wife in the fight. We will never know the power of prayer and the significance of prayer until we get to glory. You may be just the one that is protecting them from spiritual battle that day. You don't know. We don't know that. We can't see the spiritual battle that goes on. But I know there's a spiritual battle. My husband and I had the privilege of pastoring before we came here. Actually, I didn't pastor. My husband did. But we were in the lower desert, and I'm telling you that on Saturday night and Sunday are the worst days for a spiritual battle for a pastor. And Satan does not want a pastor to get up there and proclaim God's word and encourage people in the word and tell other people how to go to heaven. So that is the worst time. If you ever prayed fervently for your pastor and his wife, Saturday night and Sunday are the times to do that. And I appreciate Brother Guy. Yesterday he said that the choir was going to be staying up Monday night, Tuesday night in the choir loft to help with the seating. And he said, you all can be prayer warriors for your pastor as he stands behind the pulpit. And I did last night. I prayed for him. I prayed fervently that pastor would be a blessing. But then I'm looking down at his wife, and I'm praying for her as well, because Satan would love to destroy that couple in your church. Because if he can destroy that couple, he can destroy your work. And God's work will always go on. I shouldn't say that he'll destroy the work, but he can certainly discourage. So pray for your pastor's wife and pastor. Third bullet point there is be filled with the Spirit. So reading the Bible and praying every day, and then be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 through 21 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Do you know, being filled with the Spirit many times has been, as in Ephesians 5:18, it says, be not drunk with wine. Wine is a controller. It controls the people and it makes them do things that they normally would not do. So being Spirit-filled, that Holy Spirit within us is going to make us do things that we normally wouldn't do. If I told my mom that in 1995 or so, I told her that I would be speaking in front of ladies, she would have said, no way. But God he allows you to do things that you normally wouldn't be able to do. And I have to ask the Lord to fill me with his Holy Spirit every time, because I can teach to 20 kindergartners with no problem, but you ladies scare me. So sometimes we just have to say, Lord, what are you willing for me to do? I want to be willing and submit ourselves and be filled with the Spirit in order to do the things that normally we would not do. And I know it is our own flesh sometimes that takes over. And we need to be filled with the Spirit in order to be an encouragement to our pastor's wife. The next point here, number two, bullet point, be in your place. Be in your place. Just be faithful. Just be responsible. If your pastor's wife asks you to do something or if you're given a responsibility at church, be responsible and be in your place. Just be faithful. And if you're going to miss that second bullet point, if you're going to miss, try to give plenty of warning. Because especially if you're in a small church, I remember when we were in a small church, if somebody canceled a Sunday school class, I was put in that class. So your pastor's wife is going to be, she's going to end up being the teacher, the nursery worker, the children's junior church leader, the janitor, the piano player, even if she has to play chopsticks. No, but she's gonna probably be stepping into your spot. So try to give her plenty of warning. Probably Saturday night at 10 o'clock is not a good time to call the pastor's home and say, I'm not going to be there tomorrow if you have responsibility. So if you're not feeling good or if the babies are sick or something, even on a Saturday morning, that is probably a better time saying, there's a possibility I might not be there. And then she can get some things in mind what she's going to do. But the third bullet point there I want to just remind you is that your place may not be next to the pastor's wife. I think of that passage in Mark and chapter 10. It says, they said unto him, this was James and John, grant us, and they were talking to Jesus, grant us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I'm baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And listen what the other disciples did when they heard James and John saying, hey, Lord Jesus, can we sit on your right hand and one on the left and one on the right? Can we be right by you? And when the 10 heard it, verse 41, they began to be much displeased with James and John. It creates contention when you say, just like that pastor's wife at lunch that said, I had to stop doing what I was doing to encourage young Christians because other people were getting jealous in my church. That's not right. It's not a good attitude. Your spot might not be right next to your pastor's wife. You might not get to sit at the same table she does. You might not be able to walk with her or go out to lunch with her. But don't be discouraging to her. Just be encouraging and just tell her, oh, I'm so glad you got to spend some time with that lady. And she's growing, isn't she, as a Christian? Those kind of phrases to your pastor's wife will encourage her. So be responsible. And if you do have to miss, give her plenty of warning. And then don't realize that your place might not be right next to her all the time. Mrs. Coates and I have been here a long time together, the one that handed you the outline there. I remember Mrs. Coates, the days that we'd have ladies' nights out, and Mrs. Chapel was there an hour before the ladies' night out, and she would be there an hour after cleaning up, and we had a lot of fellowship time then. But times have changed. But you know what? I'm so thankful that she gets to do a lot more other things than maybe preparing and staying up, although she does do all of that too. But times do change, and we need to just pray and ask the Lord, Lord, keep my heart tender, keep me unselfish, let me share my pastor's wife, let me be everything I need to be for her. So we don't need to be like those other 10. Well, James and John, I'm not sure what they actually meant. I mean, they must have been in a moment of weakness, because John is, it says that he's the beloved. But I know that the Lord loves all of us, and the Lord loved each one of those 10 disciples, including Judas. But, you know, God has a place for all of us to serve, and we just need to encourage her. Then, number 3 there, write encouraging notes to her. And I wanted you to underline encouraging. Not to write her notes saying, boy, pastor sure preached long today, didn't he? We'll leave that for her to tell her her preacher, okay? But, you know, we need to write encouraging notes to her. A Bible verse that just spoke to you that day might be an encouraging note to her. Just maybe something that she taught you that week. Maybe in a Bible study lesson, something that she has said that encouraged you. Those are the kind of things that we need to do. Proverbs 3:27 says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. So when you see something that you need to do for your pastor's wife, do it. Don't withhold that. If it's in your power to do it, do it. Second bullet point there, text and email often, but at least weekly or monthly, write her a note. How many of you keep your texts and your emails? Do you keep them? What do? Delete. Because our file gets too big. And I have a box of notes, personal notes, that I've kept all these years while we've been here. Notes from students, notes from parents, notes from Mrs. Chapel and Pastor. Those special personal notes mean a lot, as well as the encouraging note that you write your pastor's wife. That will be a note that she keeps, and she will be encouraged. State how she was a blessing to you that week. Number four, participate in ladies' activities. The first bullet point there, ministry takes place when divine resources flow through human instruments for the glory of God. Ministry takes place when divine resources flow through human instruments for the glory of God. Do you know, ladies, at ladies' activities, it's not time for you two that know each other very, very well to sit and jibber-jabber, okay? At ladies' activities, the way you can encourage your pastor's wife is reach out to somebody that you don't know. Have them sit with you, even if it's having them sit with you and your friend. So have them reach out to those newer ladies. Your pastor's wife can't spend time with everybody at every lady's activity. But you can help your pastor's wife and encourage her by finding somebody new and having them sit with you. And teach them everything that you do at ladies' activities and share past ladies' activities with them and just carry on a conversation. Find out, what about that lady? Where is she spiritually? Has she just started coming to the church? Find out a lot about her and ask her questions. Be there early for ladies' activities. Be there early and help to greet. And you might even have some work nights for ladies' activities. Try and come to those. And I know that in smaller works especially, that's so encouraging to a pastor's wife. If you are so willing to help with the preparation, if you're willing to put together some of the decorations and help greet ladies as they're coming into the door. And then the last bullet point there, stay late. Don't be the first one out the door and say, well, I'm going to grab my drink and go, because there's cleanup that needs to happen. And like I said, we had wonderful memories growing in this ministry of cleanups. We had a lot of fun doing cleanups together. And that's when you really get to talk and you get to encourage your pastor's wife. And wasn't it great to see so-and-so there? And, oh, I think she had a great time. And those are the kind of communications that pastors' wives, they're encouraged with. Number five, be kind to her family. Be kind to her family. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work nor device nor knowledge nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. You know, there comes a time where whatever we do, we can be an encouragement to our pastor's wife. If the Lord lays something on our heart, let's do it. If you can encourage one of her family members, that's an encouragement to her. If you have maybe a child in the Sunday school class, or maybe you have somebody else that she knows that she's close to, you can encourage them. That will encourage your pastor's wife if you are encouraging their family. The second bullet point, I just wanted to say, you can never spoil your pastor's family enough. If you find out that your pastor and his family love chocolate chip cookies with walnuts? Make them every once in a while. Now, if they're on a special diet, then that might not be the best thing to offer them. But find out what they would like. And remember their birthdays, special events, children's graduations, weddings, baby showers. Welcome them back from vacation. We used to do this, didn't we, Mrs. Coates? And we're not doing it as much anymore, but we still encourage our families to give gifts. But we used to load the pulpit with Snicker bars. Pastor loves Snicker bars, as you can tell. He said for the people in the North Building that needed to watch it live stream, they're getting Snicker bars. So we'd put Snicker bars and Dr. Pepper and Diet Coke and Reese's Cups for Mrs. Chapel, and we'd give them gifts, welcoming them back from vacation. Some would give, like lately, gift cards to In-N-Out and gift cards to restaurants. How many of you clean out your refrigerator before vacation, and when you get back, there's nothing left? You have to go for bread and milk and all of that. Well, it'd be nice if, you know, somebody had some, maybe a basket of goodies, of milk and bread and peanut butter and things like that, sitting waiting for your pastor when he came back from vacation. Or mail him a letter so that he gets it in the mail when they get back and they open it up and there's a gift card to Denny's or something, that they can go out and have a nice meal together before they have to get back into buying groceries for their house and things. So that those are kind of thoughtful ways that you can encourage your pastor. And then the last bullet point there, pray for them, but don't expect them to be perfect. They're a family just like your family. Their children will bite in the nursery, just like your children. I know Mrs. Chapel and I were on staff together. We were assistant pastors on a staff, our husbands were. And we would go to the nursery, and my Sarah and her Danielle were notorious biters in the two-year-old nursery. And we would go together, and there we'd come up to the door of the nursery, and Danielle would be in one corner and Sarah would be in the other corner. And we tried to encourage each other at that point. But you know what? Children are going to be children. And Danielle and Sarah eventually outgrew that with a little help that we've given them through the years. But they outgrew it. But their children are going to be just like our children. They're going to mess up. They're going to be little disobedient children in Sunday school. But just because they're in a pastor's family, they're not going to be perfect. And so encourage your pastor's wife by telling her the good things that her children are doing and the blessing that they're being. And don't expect perfection. Number six, help to protect her privacy. I had the first bullet point there. Do not call her at home or stop by unannounced. If you do need to, make it brief. Don't expect to have an invite in and be shown to every room and just, you know, being curious as to what's behind closed doors. But try to be sensitive to their privacy. If you have her home phone number, don't give it out unless she says that it is okay to give it out. Just be private about that. Don't go around and say, wow, I have the pastor's wife's phone number and I can call her anytime. You know, those kind of things, those kind of attitudes create jealousy. And if you can keep those things private, that would be good. You have to realize that a pastor's family is really on call 24/7. We didn't get very many phone calls when my husband was pastoring, but we got some. But I can imagine with a church this large, pastor gets phone calls in the middle of the night. And we need to be very thoughtful and considerate of their time. The second bullet point there, family. All the people in her family will make mistakes just like ours. Don't complain about everything her children or her husband are doing wrong. Just be an encouragement to her. Everything that we say to our pastor's wife should be encouraging. We should not bring up bad things to our pastor's wife, because I'm sure that they hear it from plenty other people. And the ones that want to be sensitive and the ones that want to encourage her, we will be able to do that. And then if your pastor's wife does confide in you, don't brag or share that those items. Be a trustworthy friend of your pastor's wife. 7, surprise her with her favorite things. It's always fun for our staff to be able to give to our pastor something for his anniversary, something for his birthdays. Listen to what they have need of. And if you can't find out, because they're very closed mouths about what they need, talk to their children. Usually the children of the pastor's wife and the pastor, they spill the beans. They pretty much know what the pastors need and the pastor's wives. I love the story in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 15 through 17. It talks about and David and his mighty men. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew the water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. He realized that those men risked their lives. They listened and knew that he wanted just some water from that well, and they risked their lives. And David was so moved that they risked their lives, that he poured the water out and wouldn't drink, realizing that those men could have died getting what he wanted. And so I know pastors probably don't go out and say, "Well, we need this and we need this and we need this." I'm sure your pastor wouldn't do that. But listen carefully, and you might hear something that they want. I'm really needing to a drink. Well, run, go get her a drink. Go get her some water. Now at weddings, I try to remember the bride. When my girls were brides, I remember the one saying, "I was so thirsty when I was greeting people." And I thought, "Oh, I should have known." And now the brides, I try to watch for them. And if they're going like this, I go get a drink of water for them, because they're smiling all the time, they're talking. Listen for your pastor's wife. She's going to tell you some secrets, and just in conversation. But listen for those things and ask the Lord to help you. One of the bullet points there is love is action. You can tell your pastor's wife and tell her in a note and tell her in person, "I love you." But love is an action. So do something for her. Do that action of love. The words are fine, but show it. So make sure that you are showing and surprising her with her favorite things. I think a couple years ago, we had so much fun with Mrs. Chapel. She loves snowmen. It doesn't snow very much here. So we try to do our best to create an atmosphere of snow. Some of the dorm students are very creative. They take sagebrush and make snowmen out of them. The tumbleweeds. So one of them got one year a spray paint of snow and spray painted the tumbleweed. But Mrs. Chapel loves snowmen. And I know that she has a ton of them, because a couple years ago for her birthday, the rule was that you could buy her a gift, but it had to be something with snowmen. So she got tons of snowmen that year. But anyway, we just have fun doing that. Pastor and Mrs. Chapel are a lot of fun to buy gifts for. And so just do that for your pastor and his wife. Even if it's something little, they give little hints every now and then. Pastor In-N-Out Burger, he loves to make comments about In-N-Out Burger. So he gets a lot of gift cards for In-N-Out Burger. But people are trying to encourage them, and they need encouragement. They get too much discouragement from hate mail or from people that are unsaved. They don't need it from their church members. They need encouragement. And so love your pastor and his wife. Now, I don't have number 8 on your paper, but number 8 is read your Bible and pray daily. Right back to the beginning. You know why I put that as number 8? Mrs. Chapel several years ago said to her husband one day, after dealing with some people that were just not acting right, she said, "Why can't people just be spiritual?" She made that one statement, one question. why can't people just be spiritual? And the way we're going to be spiritual is by reading God's word and praying. It goes right back to the beginning. That is a way that we can be an encouragement to our pastor's wife, is to be spiritual. The pastor's wife, she serves in a position she had not sought for in her life. She simply fell in love with a man called into ministry. You may know her. She's your pastor's wife. She accepted her role to live for Jesus and share the gospel light. She just wanted to make God and her husband proud, just happy to be the pastor's wife. She started on her journey, her expectations soaring high. She gave her heart and soul to the task, for she's the pastor's wife. She was expected to be a certain kind of woman, adjusting to church life. She was not there to receive, but to serve. After all, she's the pastor's wife. She was to be seen as a godly lady, free from bitterness and strife. She was to always have a gentle and sweet countenance, because she's the pastor's wife. She was to be gracious hostess anytime someone dropped by, no matter the day of the week or how late into the night. She was to be the perfect mom, and her children were to always play nice. She was never to raise her voice, but discipline them perfectly. She was not to have any personal struggles or downtimes in life. She was to always be on top of the world. But she has been down and lonely, more times than we realize, for she is a woman, first of all. She has struggled on a pastor's salary, just trying to survive, while she watched others enjoy trips and luxury holidays. She's been humbled and very grateful many times throughout her life for the grace of God gave and the prayers that have been prayed to encourage this pastor's wife. She longed for just one true friend. Her battles to help her fight, only to later be burned by people who turned their backs on the pastor's wife. She yearned for her own identity, the Christian friends to share her plight. She wanted to be known for who she is, not just as the pastor's wife. She longed for simple conversations from the many in her life, but they often only spoke to her to give a message to him, for she was known as the pastor's wife. She may be hurting and discouraged or in need of a hug that's tight. She gets tired and down just like everyone else, so encourage the pastor's wife. She's always there for all of you, so get to know her and treat her right. Show her interest that's true, for she's a person too, this one called the pastor's wife. She has too often been neglected by the ones God put in her life, so let us find an occasion and show her appreciation and honor the pastor's wife. I wanted you to take your pedal that you got when you came in, and I want you to place it in your Bible. And if you didn't get a pedal, raise your hand. Because I gave you this particular pedal. It has some fragrance to it, doesn't it? Not all my roses in my garden have fragrance. This is the only bush that has the real rose-colored fragrance, or the real rose-scented fragrance. But this rose pedal, I want you to take that and press it in your Bible and be reminded that when you see it, have I done something for my pastor's wife this week? Have I done something for her lately? When you come across that petal, because your pastor's wife is the queen of the church. And just as the rose is the queen of flowers, I want you to remember to do something for her. Show you love her by some action. But that petal, hopefully it will be a reminder to you. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for our pastor's wives. Lord, I thank you that they are a special group. Lord, that many times we put them so high that we forget that they're human and that they need encouragement as well as we do. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to be a blessing to them. Help us to encourage them and to pray for them, to share scripture with them. Lord, the little things that mean so much to them, I pray that you would help us to encourage them, give them words of kindness, words of wisdom that you have taught us. Lord, that we would encourage our pastor's wife to stay in the fight as they support their husbands, Lord, in this wicked day. Lord, help us to be supportive and hold up the arms of this wonderful family in our church. And we pray these things in your precious name. Amen.